My guest today is Michael Stringer, a young composer with a growing and diverse portfolio of orchestral and electronic works. Now, this includes music written for film, theater, and television, and Michael's professional debut was scoring the music for the short film Vanity, written and directed by Beta Bulakova, which has already received multiple honorable mentions at major film festivals this year. Now, Michael is always prepared to expand his horizons to new styles, particularly when working to a brief. Now, he draws from his musical theater training and his music education, and as of right now, he is a self-taught composer. However, he has received memberships from some of the music industry's leading composers, Stephen Schwartz and Ian Bell. Now, Michael Stringer is writing music for his first feature film, Secrets of the Warrior, written and directed by Rebecca Hyde and produced by Netflix producer March Robinson, who is best known for Legacy of Lies. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the talented film music composer Michael Stringer to the show. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, how old are you?
I am 17.
You are 17 years old? Wow, that is incredible. I mean, let me ask you something, because I know that your background is musical theater. Did that equip you to work in film?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think musical theater and acting in theater is good for anything, any profession. But, you know, certainly working with a director and, you know, taking feedback, that's definitely, yeah, it's helped me so much.
So are you also acting in musical theater?
Yeah. So that's originally what I wanted to do as a profession. Yeah, I wanted to be a musical theater actor, singer, dancer.
So when did you make the change over to composing?
Lockdown, yeah. So during COVID, I mean, we all had a lot of time to ourselves, and I just started writing music and realized it was something I was very passionate about, and people told me I seemed to be okay at it, so I'm giving it a go professionally now.
Well, were there any films that interested you in the music scores and wondered if that was something that ignited your interest and passion to be a composer?
Yeah, 100%. So I watched a film, American Beauty, and that just has the most amazing score from Thomas Newman. I mean, I listen to that every day. It's the perfect film score because it works in the film. It's not too distracting, but you can listen to it on its own, and it's just without any visuals at all, it's still the most beautiful piece of music. So yeah, that's definitely my number one that made me want to do film music.
Well, what other films do you like when it comes to the music scores?
Anything Spielberg and John Williams. I mean, I think that's a given. Specifically Jurassic Park. That's probably my number one film and film score put together.
I'm going to have to go back and watch Jurassic Park just for the music score. Yeah, and you bring up Spielberg and John Williams, and of course, you know, he's famous for creating the music score, as well as the well-known two notes when it comes to Jaws. And and of course, you know, Steven led John Williams over to George Lucas because he scored Star Wars as well. So, of course, we all know that John Williams has set the bar when it comes to music composing.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, do you like listening to soundtracks without watching the film and just immerse yourself in that way when it comes to the music scores?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you really, really want to learn and practice film scoring, it's great to see it with the film, but you need to pick it apart. You need to listen to it. I buy the scores of the film, and I sit down and I listen and I read and I see what the composer's doing. So yeah, 100%. I always listen to film scores on their own.
So you even buy the sheet music so that you can actually read and see what the composer was actually doing. I've never thought about that. And because one of the things that interests me about you, not only because you're young, younger than I thought, to tell you the truth, and you are a self-taught composer. So it was during the pandemic that you started writing music. What was the first piece that you ever composed?
Oh wow. I think the first piece I composed was probably a piece that I called Hope, which I guess links well and sort of reflects the times we were in during lockdown. But it was a jazz piece for piano, saxophone and drums. I'll be honest, it's a terrible, terrible piece of music. But you have to start somewhere, so
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody does have to start somewhere, and usually the first piece of work is not going to be Oscar worthy, but you got to start somewhere. But I want to know, you wrote the score for the short film Vanity. How did you get involved with that project?
about last summer, I met a man called Keith Merrill, who is my agent and manager. And we spent a lot of time, a few months, just figuring out what I wanted to do, honing my craft, because I haven't really been composing for that long. And then I said to him, right, I think I'm ready to dive in headfirst into a project. I want to start now. So he reached out to the University of the Arts in London. And they had a graduate, Betka, who's the director of Vanity, and we sent her my music, and she said, "Yeah, I want him. I want him to score the film," and then we went from there.
Well, so what was it like sitting down with Betka to write the score of this film? Since it was your first professional work, what was the process like for you?
I'll be honest, I was very nervous. I was because I've scored music for video in the past, just as practice. But I've never had a director sort of tapping me on the shoulder, telling me what they like and what they don't like. So it was a very nerve-wracking process, but honestly, I learned so much working on Vanity. It was incredible. I learned, as a composer, it can be quite easy to think that the music you write first is what's going to be put straight into the film, but that's definitely not the case. I probably wrote five scores for Vanity, but you only get one. So it's taking feedback, it's working with the director, it's seeing their vision, because you can often have a different vision, but you have to sort of meet in the middle and yeah.
Well, were they very patient, and they knew that this was your first film to score?
Yeah, they knew, and they were the whole team was very friendly and very welcoming. So it was a great experience.
So when you sat down to write this, so you wrote five scores for Vanity, which is a short film, and you're about to tackle a feature film, which that's on a whole nother level. So, and I know that some short films can be very difficult to score because you're working with a very, very short time frame. And then with a feature film, there's different areas of the film in which to actually score, from the opening sequence to the ending credits to certain scenes within the movie. What particular hurdles are you looking at to score the feature film?
Wow. I mean, there's plenty of hurdles. I'm quite lucky in that I've started writing the music before they've filmed, because I spoke to Rebecca and she said, yeah, we want music. And I said, okay, can I have some scenes for the music you'd like it for? And they said, oh no, we haven't filmed yet. And I found that very odd, but it kind of makes sense, I think. I mean, in the end, I'll have to make it fit, but you know, you're building and you're filming this world, and I think it makes sense to already have some music there to accompany it. So I think that was a vision.
Yeah, because I've talked to other composers, and everybody's system is different, where they wait for, well, first they sit down with the director to know what the director's vision is. Maybe they have samples of something that they want their music score to be. You know, if it's going to be, trying to think right off, if it's going to be warm, orchestral, choral, is it going to be vocal? If there's going to be any vocals in the tracks. And many of them film the whole picture, and then they sit down with time codes to figure out or to hand over to the composer to write the piece. So Rebecca was actually wanting you to start writing before she even filmed this movie?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
How in the world do you get the vision for the film? Just by what she tells you, or were you able to read the script?
I was able to read the script. Yeah, that was very helpful. You know, she gave me temp music, which is the music you were describing. So we knew the instruments that I was going to use. She gave me different scenes to read, and she told me how she wanted the music to reflect it. And it was tricky. I mean, it was very tricky, but yeah, it was interesting. And I'm glad, since I'm at the start of my career, that I'm trying different ways of approaching a film. So Vanity, like you said, they filmed it was all edited, and I sat down with Betka. She gave me the timestamps, and she said, this is where we want music, this is where we don't want music. We want this instrument maybe to play here, but this is the complete opposite. So it's a cool experience.
Well, you mentioned John Williams. Are there other composers that you have studied that have scored films to get an idea of what their vision was? Because, you know, for some, they watch the film, like you said, by watching Jaws or Jurassic Park. Were there other films in which you studied the composer completely to really understand overall what they were trying to do and what you could grab from them to add to your own repertoire?
Yeah, definitely. So one composer who is, I mean, probably my number one favorite composer of all time. His name is John Powell, and he wrote the music for How to Train Your Dragon. And that was, honestly, it's just master film writing. I think if you watch the film and you try to count how many themes he's actually written, it's not that many. It's probably two or three. But the way he combines them and he manipulates them and just orchestrates them, it's just beautiful. And yeah, though, I mean, the way the film and the music complement each other is just, it's otherworldly to me. I don't know how he did it, but
you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is one of my favorite films, animated films of all time. It is, you know, I know, especially when the first one came out, it was just brilliant from beginning to end. You couldn't have written a better story. And then part two came out, and it's just as perfect. And now I hear they're working on the live action.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Very excited for that.
Do you hope to write? And this is probably a dumb question, but are you hoping to one day write a score for an animated film?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
You know, with How to Train Your Dragon, and you said technically his composing for that film was really, I'm not going to say simple, but he didn't overdo it either. You know, so are there other films that have inspired you when it comes to the music?
I mean, there's so many. I think another great composer, Danny Elfman, 100%. And that's animation again, which, yeah, something I 100% want to do. But Danny Elfman is very interesting because he writes orchestral film music, but he's also in a rock band. So I think that has a lot of influence on him as well. And that's something that I try to sort of take and use for myself. I guess writing film music, you just need to surround yourself with as much music as possible, whether that's musical theatre, which I do, whether it's, I don't know, playing in a rock band. Just surround yourself with as much music as possible.
You know, you bring up something that's very interesting, and I've had this conversation before. We have films that let's just say that the music score for a particular film is very orchestral. But then we have films out there that don't use that type of music. They'll use actual songs. So it sounds like, so when the film is done, then there's this soundtrack. There's like 12, could be, let's just say there's 12 songs on the soundtrack. And it does sound like, in some cases, a rock band doing the soundtrack. For you, do you focus more on, and of course, you're young, you're only 17, so as time goes by and you gain much more experience, would you ever be looking at doing a musical score in which the soundtrack would be songs that are actually sung?
I would love to do that. I am not the best lyricist. I have tried writing songs. So that might be something I have to pair up with someone for. But yeah, definitely. And I mean, a lot of great films combine songs and orchestral music. I mean, you've got The Hunger Games, you've got James Bond. I mean, every James Bond film comes with a song. It's just a classic. So yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd love to write songs for the films as well at some point.
You know, it's funny because, you know, James Bond is very unique when it comes to the music. Every film has the music in which we recognize right off that it's a James Bond film. But then, like you said, there's always an artist that is chosen to basically sing the title track, and that is a song that's usually used in the very intro, because with James Bond movies, the intros are, it's almost like watching a miniature music video. And we have to go through 3 minutes of beginning credits before the film actually starts, because they're really selling the song to the audience. You know, which is very, very interesting. And there was a film, well, there's actually two. I recently talked to John McEwen, who did the score for the film Good Old Boys, which stars Tommy Lee Jones and Sissy Spacek. And he's co-founder of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. So he spent the last 50 years writing songs with lyrics and then ends up doing a score for a film. Then I was talking with director Phil Alaco, who recently just released the Lionsgate film, 5 Pounds of Pressure. There's probably 12, 15 songs in that movie, which now has become the soundtrack. And because his background as a director, which he wrote 4 of the songs, is because it's basically a rock band. And for you being so young and you love studying these musical scores, do you find that with so many of these films and the scores being so different, are you trying to learn as much as you can from everyone's approach?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the goal for every composer is to find your own voice. But in the end, everyone, I don't want to say steals, everyone borrows different things from different composers. I mean, it's just there's no other way of doing it. So I guess creating your own voice is taking all your favorite parts of all your favorite composers, bringing them together, maybe adding a slight twist. But yeah, I mean, just...
Well, is there a film? Yeah, I mean, is there a film out there that you have studied that the score not only intrigued you, but maybe it came across as difficult and you were wondering how the composer pulled it off? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. John Powell did a film. I can't remember the name of it. It was one of the Harry Styles films that came out last year. But that score was, what intrigued me was it was very different to things like How to Train Your Dragon. It was the complete opposite to your big sort of fanfare orchestral epic score. And this was just a reduced, very percussive, sort of minimalist score. And it worked perfectly, and I don't understand how. And that's, yeah, that film really does baffle me, because there aren't any melodic themes that really sort of stand out to you as they do in How to Train Your Dragon or, you know, Kung Fu Panda or anything like that. But it's just, yeah, it's very intricate, that score. I wish I could remember the name of it. That's a bit embarrassing, but...
No. I mean, there's... People don't realize how many films are done every year. I mean, if you ask a normal person how many films that the general audience, how many films they actually see in a year, you know, they could say that they watched 20 films. And of course, most of them are probably streaming and not actually walking into a theater. And if somebody goes to the theater nowadays, it could be maybe a half a dozen times, because a lot of people are not running into the theaters like they used to. But the amount of film that is released per year is in the thousands. And most people will only see a very tiny fraction of those films. I mean, just for short films alone, I believe the number is well over 10,000 films a year. And all of those are scored. And which I find very intriguing, because there's a lot of work out there. I've also learned too, and you've probably noticed this in some films, where there's not necessarily a major music score. So let's just pick suspense or horror, where there's not a heavy music score, but they use musical sounds in scenes to create drama, suspense, fear. Have you studied any of those?
I haven't, no. That's something I need to do. It's very easy, especially starting out, I think, to practice what you're very good at. And I think that's probably not very smart, because then you're not learning. But yeah, that's something I need to do, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you this. I am impressed with you. You're 17. You have scored your first film, Vanity, and you're working on the next a feature film, which I believe is what I think I just mentioned it earlier, is actually Secrets of the Warrior. How did you get connected to Rebecca as well as producer March Robinson?
So I saw Rebecca was posting about the film, and all I did was send her a message. I didn't think she'd be at all interested, because, you know, I'd only done one thing before. But she said, yeah, send me your music and we'll see. And I did, and she liked it. And I find it baffling that it was that simple. But that's how it happened, yeah.
You know what? This is what I love about the film industry. It is one of the very few industries which people want to collaborate. People want to connect, because, you know, it's one project after the other. You know, I thought the music industry was great, but there's a lot of, I'm not going to say egos, but collaborations come in different ways in the music industry. But with film, everybody wants to work together. And I love the fact that you have someone like Rebecca that will take a chance on someone like you, because I'm impressed because you took a step of faith just to reach out to somebody and they said yes. And that's what I think that a lot of young filmmakers need to understand, is get out there, you know, submit your work to people. You never know. And just like in your case, someone said yes. But I have to ask, Michael, because how did you come to meet and to know Oscar and Grammy winner Stephen Schwartz, who is well known for The Prince of Egypt, Enchanted, and even Pocahontas, just to name a few?
Yeah. So when I first met, I mentioned Keith Merrill before, my manager. He said, we want to find you a mentor. Here's a list of people. See if you know one of them. And I saw Stephen Schwartz. I went, of course I know Stephen Schwartz. I mean, I love musical theatre. I said, I mean, that'd be great if he wants to talk to me. So we sent him my music. And again, he said, yeah, I'm interested. I think, you know, you're very young, but I can see some potential. And a few months later, luckily, he was in London. So we both went to have breakfast with him, and he was just amazing, because I honestly thought we'd be going there to just talk about music, but he just had the best life advice, career advice. And yeah, I mean, I can't wait to do more with him. He's offered me some very cool opportunities. I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to say.
You can keep that private. What was some of the advice that he gave you?
The one thing that stuck was, don't care what people think about you, to a point. Obviously, what people think about you is important. But he meant don't let it get to you. You can write something and you might have a mass of people tell you that it's bad or that they don't like it, but they don't matter. It's the people that like it, and it's the people that you've you've affected positively, that's what matters, and that's why you write music. And that's something I think about all the time.
Well, that is some excellent advice, especially coming from someone like Stephen Schwartz, who, well, has the awards to back it up. And he's right. Not everybody's going to like what we create, but there will be people who love what we create. And for someone like you who's just really getting started with this profession, what advice do you have for someone who wants to get into the film or the music industry?
I'd say you're never too young to start networking. 100%. When I started in lockdown, I was way too young to try and start writing film scores. I mean, some might say I am now. But you're never too young to network. You can send 1,000 emails to 1,000 different people, and you might get, so, no, 900 no's, and 99 replies saying, no, we're not interested. Or you might not get any replies, but if you get one reply out of 1,000, that could change your career, that could change your life. So don't be afraid to reach out to people. It's like you said earlier, the film industry, and it did surprise me because when I first got started, I thought, oh, we're all composers, we all want to get the job, it's all going to be very egotistical, and everyone's going to be, fighting. But it's the complete opposite. I haven't had a single bad experience reaching out to someone. I've had no's, obviously, that happens, but everyone's kind. So just don't be afraid. Talk to people. People are lovely.
They are,
That's
and
my
I
advice.
agree with you. When it comes to the film industry, everyone I met has been very, very nice. Don't get bothered by no's. And tell you the truth, I've only been told no once. Most of the, and the times in which they don't say yes, they just say not yet. And so that's not a negative. Not yet is better than a maybe. But I've only been told no once, and but you don't let it get you down because it all comes down to timing. Because one day the no does become a yes, and Michael, I agree with you 110%. The film industry has the greatest people. I have not found a. I haven't seen jealousy. I haven't seen competition because everybody wants to work together. Everybody wants to eventually collaborate. I know actors. It's like actors. You audition, you audition, you audition. You're going to get more no's than you get a yes, but that yes can change your life. And for you, again, I am very, very impressed by you. And you got a yes. Well, twice, from a short film and to a feature film. But being 17, besides writing and composing music, do you have any interest outside of this?
Acting, singing and dancing. Those music and that are definitely my two passions. When I was younger, magic, that was very random, but that was a passion of mine. Funnily enough, I did used to want to make films. I used to run around when I was very little with a camcorder trying to make films. Yeah, so I guess I've always, had a creative sort of passion. I think I always knew I wanted to do something creative. I just couldn't put my finger on it until about 1 or 2 years ago.
Well, are you still doing, do you still go to acting auditions?
So I'm part of a musical theatre group. We put on shows. Yeah, I am gonna have to stop soon just because of time. But yeah, I love it. It's just fun. You get to meet people. I actually met, I have a mentor who's also a film composer, George Stroud. And that was just very lucky because he's the owner of the musical theatre group that I do. So yeah, when I came to him saying I want to do film composing, he went, "Oh, I'm a film composer." And I had no idea. So yeah, do that another piece of advice. Do as much as you can because you don't know who knows who, you don't know who does what. So yeah, just talk to people that you might not even think of anything to do with film composing, because you never know. You never know.
Well, how did you meet Ian Bell?
Again, that was through Keith. I said to him, "I am atrocious at writing songs. I can put my hand on my heart and say I can write a good melody, I can write harmony, but lyrics I just cannot do." And he said, "Okay, I'll put you in touch with Ian Bell, who's, I mean, he's probably one of the biggest operatic composers, I mean, today, which is crazy." And again, it's just reaching out to people. He said yes. We went for a coffee, and he's helping me write a song.
Wow,
So,
that's
yeah.
great because it's really like, Bernie Taupin wrote all the lyrics and Elton John wrote the music. So it just comes down to collaboration.
Exactly. Collaboration. Advice number three.
Always seek out and collaborate because it makes one's experience grow, which is what we all want. Now, what do you have coming up in the future besides Secrets of the Warrior?
So I do have another film lined up after Secrets of the Warrior. I'm not going to say what it is, but that's happening. Hopefully we'll be releasing music that's not for film, just an album of music that I've written. That could include the song I write with Ian. Yeah, I'm here to explore. I'm not, obviously I'm very young, so who knows what the future holds, but I hope it's yeah, I'm excited to see where everything goes. I hope people enjoy what I'm doing, and I guess that's all that matters.
Well, I think you have a very, very bright future ahead of you as a film music composer. You're young, which is a great blessing right now because now you can just be a sponge and soak it all in and continue to learn and keep pushing the boundaries. Where can all of my viewers and listeners find out more about you?
I guess the main place is my Instagram. That's where I post everything I'm up to, everything I'm writing. That all goes on there. It's M Stringer Music on Instagram.
M Stringer Music on Instagram. I should know that by now. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for coming onto the program and really showing us, the side of really getting into the industry at your age. I think that a lot of people, especially young filmmakers, are going to be inspired by you and knowing that all it takes is just to reach out and try to connect with people and network, and that alone can ignite a career overnight, and it sure has done that for you.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. Even being on this show is surreal. If you told me a year or two ago that I'd be here being interviewed about my film music, I'd have told you were crazy. But here we are.
Well, you even told me, you really want to interview me because I'm so young. Well, when you said young, I'm thinking like 20, maybe 21. I was shocked when you said 17, but I just think that is the coolest thing ever because to me, especially when it comes to music. I mean, how, you know, you do it, I do it, everybody does it. You're on Instagram, we're flipping through reels, and we're seeing 10, 11-year-olds ripping and shredding on a guitar as if they were Jeff Beck or Steve Vai or anybody out there. And the same thing can go for film and writing music. It just seems like there's more talent out there that's being discovered that at a very young age, and that's not a bad thing. You know, but
no, I totally agree.
But Michael, much success to you with Secrets of the Warrior, as well as the new upcoming film project that you'll be working on. And hey, when those films get done and they get released, you're going to have to come back so we can talk about them.
Of course, of course.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Stringer, if you connect with him on Instagram, M Stringer Music. And for those of you, well, maybe you're an up-and-coming filmmaker and you would like to have your film scored, well, look him up on Instagram at M Stringer Music, and may overload his schedule, but hey, he's young and he can do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch all of the replays of our interviews with the top film directors, producers, screenwriters, and actors, as well as up-and-coming composers like Michael Stringer, and more on our website at bondoncinema.com. We're also available on YouTube by the same name and a dozen audio platforms as well. So I want to thank all of you for watching and listening. And as for me, I'll either see you at the movies or from the red carpet.